Hey there, and welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast. I'm Megan Copeland.
And I'm Kendra Bartlett, and we are two best friends that we live right across the street from each other. And between us, we have 10 kids, a ton of redheads.
Yes, we do. We run a ministry in Austin, Texas called His Beloved, and our mission is to invite women, children, teenagers into an encounter with Jesus and to bring revival in the Catholic Church. And we are just so excited you are here.
Come join us.
Hey friends, welcome back to the His Beloved Podcast. I'm Megan, and guess what? We are back with Haley Riney with new mics that sound beautiful, and we are just so excited to have a second time to interview her. So about 2 weeks has passed since we interviewed her the first time, and on this one, now we're best friends, so of course we just talk 90 miles an hour, but we talk about what it means to just trust the Lord, to follow Him at any cost, to let Him wow you, just to let Him blow you away and let Him dazzle you. And then we also dive pretty deep into healing wounds and how holding on to heartache and wounds affects the body and to some of her work in that field. It's so good, you guys. She is such a breath of like life and wisdom and faith in the Catholic Church. We need more women like Haley Riney leading the way and showing us what it means to have a deep, meaningful, impacting, intimate relationship with the Lord. It's good. And I want you to know too, when you're listening to this, she's not the only one who gets to have that intimate relationship with Jesus. He desires it with you too. You may not believe me on that, but I know that He does. Because He created you, He loves you, He knows you in the depths of your soul, and He wants you to know Him the way Haley does. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the His Beloved Podcast. We have a returning guest today.
Yes, we do. Miss Haley is with us again. Say hi, Haley.
Hey. It's good to see you ladies again.
It's good to see you, too. I'm super excited. I think our show might become His Beloved Podcast with Haley.
We were like, it'll be a 10-part series with Haley.
Yes. Come on, let's bring There's it, so many things. Have your way.
I know. Before we started talking, we were like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And so we were just quiet because there's so many things from our last podcast, which you will get to listen. Well, they're going to be.
They will have already heard it.
Yeah, they're right. Okay. Okay, but y'all haven't heard it, and I'm excited for y'all to hear it because it's so good. But there's so many things like, oh, that's a tangent we can go on. Oh, that's a tangent we can go on. And there's so many things. So we were praying and asking the Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to go? So I'm excited for what the Lord has put on our hearts today.
Do you want to tell Him what He said to you?
Actually, yes, but I don't quite remember.
He said, so show them what I can do.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, yes. That is the goal of our entire lives right now.
Yeah.
Show Him what I can do. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it's true. I think Haley's air fist bump. I think Haley's the perfect person to show us what just the power and the might in the tiny detail of the Lord too. Mm-hmm. And that was what I took from our last conversation. It was just watching you live fully in reliance on God and on His providence and then letting Him wow you. Was so fun.
Yeah.
I just loved hearing those stories. So we thought, hey, let's start with those. And she was starting to tell us a story, and I told her she had to stop because I wanted to hear it on the podcast.
So good.
She got in podcast timeout for a minute.
Yeah,
Haley, I was like, no. I was silenced.
I just like the surprise. I like the, you know, I want it to be true and natural. Okay.
So right now, Haley, you are on location for Jesus. We'll just say that. He has opened a door and led you, and you are sharing your story on your way driving. And that's when Megan put you in timeout. So go ahead and girl.
It's perfect. Actually, I really love it. I love that that was Holy Spirit telling you to tell me to shut up. Because what's beautiful, so as I was starting to share and what you saw over me, Kendra, related, because on our way here in Chicago at a retreat center and doing some things here, partnering with a physician, long story, but on our way here, we saw this flying V, and it was, I knew in that moment.
I thought you said B.
I was wondering why you said B.
You said V. I was like, yes. I thought you were talking. talking about a bee was following your car. And I was like, well, that is really interesting.
I thought the same thing. I was like, did she say bee? Okay, cool.
Because the Lord speaks to Megan through bees.
The Lord speaks to me through bees.
Bees.
I was like, that's really impressive. Okay, carry on.
I got you now. Good. Okay, so anyway, so this flying bee, right? And I have, the Lord knows, I have a thing with birds. It's just the freedom, a higher perspective, like soaring on eagle's wings. I think of Psalm 91, yes. Protection, right? And how he's calling people into a place of higher order, higher perspective, yes. Has to do with
him. He does speak to me through that too.
There we go. Yeah.
We had a connection. I just wasn't there yet.
Praise God. So good. So I have so many stories with birds. It's just, it's wild. But anyway, I digress. The flying bee, I was like, Lord, thank you. That was just like this moment of peace and knowing I was going to be speaking with you guys this morning. It was just like, ah, oh, God, you're so good. Like, he's in every detail, right? Mm. And I was telling Sheila, who was with me in the car, it's like, that's it. And the V, it wasn't just like flying across the car, right? It was like we were following it for a good, at least 20 seconds, right?
Wow.
So it took me back to this memory, which is why I think it's beautiful you had me stop. It took me back to this memory, and I told Sheila this as well. Before I left Kentucky, which is where I'm originally from, I was mowing my grass, and I loved being outside and yard work and da-da-da. I was, you know, that media gratification. I loved doing that stuff. And I always listen to worship in my headphones, my earbuds. And a flying V came so close to me, flew over my head. Like, I'm not kidding. Maybe 20 feet above me. It was so close.
Wow.
Where I was just like blown away. Yeah. Because in that moment is when I was really discerning where the Lord was sending me on this missionary journey, leaving Kentucky, going as a traveling therapist across the world, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of where my story starts from the last 6 years-ish. Because as he was calling me to leave, when I was going through the divorce after my husband left me, I prayed this prayer at any cost. Okay.
At any cost.
Right. You hear that those people say, be careful what you pray for.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Oof. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Oh my goodness. But so much beauty has come from it because I was struggling so much, you know, through the divorce and healing. So I gave myself a good, you know, I don't know, year and a half. To go through some healing, but the process of course has continued. But it, in that moment when I was mowing, it was because I was praying about where to go specifically. And it was a confirmation then, Haley, this is for you to go and discover more of me, because my prayer at any cost, remove anyone or anything that gets in my way from loving you more deeply, following you more closely, knowing you more fully. Wow. And he's taken me on this crazy, beautiful adventure. And that's the life that he invites us into, right? This life of freedom, this life of fullness, this life to soar like an eagle, right? And it's when we embrace our brokenness, when we embrace the pain and let the Lord come into those places, he brings beauty from ashes. This is what he was showing me, because I was defining myself for so long by my sin. I felt like I had this big black stamp said I'm divorced over my forehead, right? But the Lord is showing me like, Haley, this isn't who you are. This is something that happened to you, right?
Right.
And so, you know, in this adventure that I've been on, it was crazy. It was interesting because I was like, I didn't share any of that the first, you know, time we chatted.
Yeah.
It was funny how I even started. Like, I didn't start talking about me being a physical therapist that I'm – you know, because I'm just a follower of Jesus. I'm a daughter of a king that just loves him and wants to make him known. Mm-hmm. I want to know him better. I want to love him better. And so looking back at our brokenness and the healing journey that I've been on, it's like, oh, like I wouldn't be here if I had a different story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't know his tenderness and his love, and I wouldn't have known his embrace. Mm-hmm. And so it makes us so grateful. Sister Miriam actually talks about this. You know how we're great. You become grateful for your wounds on the other side because you see the work that God has done in you, and you've allowed him to touch your heart in those places, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, and you have a deeper understanding of his heart and who God is when you've suffered that severely and the Lord has showed up for you. You know, I always say it's like you can read about him all the time or you can hear other people's stories, but once you actually like experience that, like the depths of my pain, I don't think I'll ever come out of it. And the Lord picks you up and holds you and spins you around and tells you you're still worthy of love. No one can take that away from you. Like that's a level of understanding of the Lord that most people don't get to experience. And not only suffering can bring you there, but suffering definitely brings you there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%, because we don't have a story without a struggle, right? Yeah. We don't have a story without suffering.
Can't have a savior if you don't have a struggle. Yeah.
That's right. And our whole story of salvation is about God constantly. If we could just wrap up the word of God in one phrase or sentence or summary, is that God is with us. He's like, hey, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I have a plan for you. Mm-hmm. Like, let me in. Be with me. Walk with me. Abide, right? Stay connected with me. Because in the story, in the struggle, we learn how to love better.
Yeah.
And is that not the whole purpose of this life? Yeah. To love better.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This reminds me. So last week during our encounter class, one of the activations was just to just sit and be with Jesus and ask him where he is. And he showed me a tornado. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Why in the world are you showing me a tornado? What's going on? And at the moment, I felt like my world was kind of spinning. And it kind of scared me a little bit, just facing the reality of where I was at, I guess. But then he showed up as a tornado. And then our tornadoes combined, and then all of a sudden everything stopped and fell in peace. Like, boom.
That's cool.
It was done. Right. And then the song, he gave me this song, I pick you up, turn you around.
Turn you around.
Plant your feet on solid ground. I am the master. I am the savior. That one. And it was so beautiful. Like, sometimes we do feel like the world is spinning around us or we're just going, but he enters into that with us. And captures us and he brings the calm.
Ooh, y'all, this morning I listened to so I'm preparing for a talk that I'm giving at our youth ministry and I'm buddying with another
man. Hey guys.
Can you hear us?
There was maybe a 10-second cutout. I was praying, rebuking. Can you repeat what you said?
So one thing I want to tell you is I want you to hear what we're saying, obviously. But with this audio, if it starts sounding like garbly or weird, it won't sound that way when we download it. So don't freak out if we sound weird all of a sudden, but we can still repeat ourselves so you can hear. Did you hear what she said about the tornado?
It like completely cut out. Yes, I heard about the tornado when you converged and then you had peace.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should I just start with the next story?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm working on writing a talk for a youth ministry night for our church. And they partnered me with somebody that I don't know. And so I'm like getting to know this guy. And he introduced me. It's all about the kerygma. And we wanted to like have a night where we're just showing the kids the love of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So he introduced me to Father John Ricardo. He does Acts 29. Have you heard of Acts 29? I've heard it's amazing. I haven't.
We're the Acts 29 people.
Yeah. Yes, we are. And so I watched this video of him today, and it's all about how, he's talking about the story of salvation and how Jesus is a rescuer. Ooh. And he says on this video today, he's talking about how we look at the nativity as this, like, sweet little beautiful moment of, like, oh, baby Jesus came into the world. And he was like, no, he came in like he was ready for battle. Because he was coming to save us.
Yeah.
And he said it was so cool. And he said he came wearing a disguise because the enemy didn't want to fight God. He wanted to fight us. He wanted to fight the people because he's too afraid to fight God. So he thinks he can come at us and fight us. And so he said he put on a disguise as a human so that the enemy would go to battle with him. And I was like, okay, because it was a battle he knew he could conquer, right?
Wow, my God.
And I know. And so he was talking about how like we were freed back then, right? But then also there's like a daily living in that freedom that we're called to. And when you were talking earlier about saying you felt like you always had this like stamp on your forehead of divorced, right? What I'm seeing over and over with women that I pray with and with teens and with just people in our lives is like God has forgiven us. We have gone to confession. We have asked for forgiveness, but we don't know how to live in freedom. Yeah. We don't know how to like let our hearts be forgiven. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you want to speak into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was getting excited. You just even referencing Jesus as a rescuer, because I was having this very conversation last night. I believe Jesus came for three reasons, and this is all scriptural. This is just part of a message the Lord's been brewing in me, birthing in me. But Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save the lost, right? That he came to rescue us, right? He came to bear witness to the truth, John 18:37, right? The truth of who God the Father is, the truth of who we are in him, our identity. It always goes back to identity.
Right.
And that's a day. Mm-hmm. It's not even a day by day thing. It's a moment by moment in many
cases, it is.
Right?
Totally.
Because of the lies that creep in. Because the lies, the truth has to dispel the lie, right?
Yeah.
So he came to bear witness to the truth. And thirdly, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the number one enemy is right between our ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's happening in our own minds.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because, and that's the thing is like one of my passions, I do speak a lot about identity and healing, mm-hmm. and they're one and the same for me. And maybe we'll get further into that, but, is that we have to get back to that, our beliefs, two primary belief systems, I believe, is what we believe about Jesus. Right. And thereafter what we believe about ourselves.
Yes.
Right. I think it's JP2 says, the key to all reality is understanding who God the Father is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then from there, you know, we realize we can understand who we are.
And we have such a like historically broken perception of who God the Father is.
That's exactly
as a,
right.
As a like collective church, there is a brokenness in understanding who God the Father is, I believe.
That's the number one lie.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the number one lie came from the fall, that God's not good.
Right.
That he won't provide, that he's the one good for me because of all the suffering in the world, all the destruction. Right. So that the enemy's not creative. Like he's not the creator.
Right.
He's not creative. So everything essentially goes back to that place. But the reason I even bring up more identity work is because I believe the Lord wants more than anything for us to thrive in life, to live life to its fullest, to live a life of freedom, because fullness looks like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It's the my life scripture, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you being rooted and grounded in love may know the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. To know here, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. It's this 18-inch journey, right? We know here we're in an information age. People want more and more knowledge. That's another tangent I can go off on. But it's the knowledge here in our heart of knowing him and the person of him. And when we have that deep understanding, then we can recognize those lies of the enemy, right? Because part of healing, again, see it, it's so interchangeable. The body keeps the score. I think I briefly maybe mentioned that last
talk. Yeah, we wanted to hear more about that for sure.
And this is the work of a psychiatrist, right? Who did a lot of research on neuroscience and trauma that was held in veterans, basically, who are struggling with PTSD. So this book is just fascinating, but anyway, one of the things that he says, Vander Kolk learned from this other guy, I can't even remember his name, who quotes this, but it's in the book nevertheless, the greatest source of our suffering, this is a secular book, the greatest source of our suffering are the lies we tell ourselves.
Wow.
Secular book says this, right?
Yeah.
And JP2, who comes in like a boss, all his quotes, right? I'm like, he's just, man, just one of the top saints in my posse, right? That the root of every sin is a lie, which is a radical rejection of the truth, which is contained in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we have to get back to that place. Right. Because even it's important to identify those lies, but then we have to replace them with the truth, the word of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And John 8:31-32 says, if you remain in my word, mm-hmm. truly you are my disciples. You will know the truth and the truth, truth will set
you free. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, come on, y'all. Why do we complicate it? Like,
yeah.
Do we partner with fear and the lies? Right. Like it's all rooted. It's essentially rooted in fear. And do we empower the liar or do we believe the truth? Like, you know, I choose, this is one of the things I tell myself every day. I choose to believe the truth of God's word instead of the lies of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Right. And I choose, God, what you say over me. I don't want to, Bill Johnson says this, I don't want a single thought in my head that God doesn't say about me first. So every day in the rescuer, you know, seeing Jesus as he's our savior, he's our rescuer. He comes to me in his tender mercy and his compassionate, that my prayer is like, Lord, help me get over myself every day. It's not just freedom from bondage and from sin, but freedom from myself.
Yeah.
Right. Freedom from our very selves. Help me get over me. Lord, save me from myself. Psalm 119:94. Save me. Right. Help me shut off all this nonsense that the world has put on me or these learned behaviors. Right. So much of my adult life has been unlearning. Right. Because it's shifting from a culture that we grew up in, this way of life, to a kingdom culture of God.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's beautiful. I feel like there's such a need and such a hunger for healing. And also, like you said, it's so intertwined with identity. Everywhere we go, it's like that message keeps coming back. It doesn't matter if we're talking to children or women, moms or grandmothers or grandfathers. Mm-hmm. Like there's such a deep need for understanding identity and for healing. Mm-hmm. in our world right now. Yeah. And I feel like the Lord just keeps like coming back to that over and over. It's like where he really wants to encounter his people.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, it is. It's so true because we can't function as God intends for us to as a church, as the bride, until we step into our full identity, right? We can't be fully equipped. The more healed we are, the more effective we're going to be in the kingdom.
Right.
I forget his name, another podcast I had listened to, but just talking about how, you know, we can't communicate things to other people if we're not, like, when it comes to evangelization, if we don't have better freedom, if we don't have more freedom or more fullness, right? Like, because then we tend to intellectualize everything.
Mm-hmm.
We can't communicate safety when we don't feel safe in a place of rest and being held by the Father.
Yeah. So I have a question. Right? If somebody's listening and what you're saying is like really like tugging at their heartstrings and they're like, yeah, I don't experience freedom. Like right now I'm so wrapped in chains of my own thoughts or my own fears or my own, you know, guilt and shame. How can they go about trying to unlock their own hearts towards freedom?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think, first of all, I think people, gosh, there's so many ways I could go about answering that question. Come Holy Spirit. I think first people need to, our world needs to get over the stigma of counseling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that it's like mental health crisis. It's such an issue, right? But like, again, so much of that bondage, yes, be in the word of God. That's my number one. That should be my number one answer. But like one of the two big lessons I learned from the divorce is you don't know what you don't know, right? Or you only know what you know. Like that saying, of course, we hear it. Well, it became such a reality to me. And then secondly, you have no idea what people are walking in. You have no idea the shoes. You have no idea what's their story, right? Where is their own pain? Why do they react that way? Why do I react this way? You know what I'm saying? Like there's always deeper, more deeply rooted issues. So we're all in bondage until the Holy Spirit is the first one who brings revelation. It is the experience and the encounter with a person that reveals to us, oh, like, wow, like that's, I am locked in this, you know, I'm stuck in this place, blah, blah, blah. And those are lies, but, but again, right. Like, where is that more deeply rooted? And I think counseling really does go a long way for people to go into those places because of our humanity and the psychology. We are spiritual beings, right? But there's also a beautiful humanity. And I think, what with this being said is there is such a stigma in the same light against expressing emotion.
Yeah. Right?
Even in the church, in a charismatic culture, there's so much judgment over people who are so emotional. And I'm like, first of all, Jesus was emotional. Okay.
Right.
Let me tell you the scriptures. Okay. so, right. Like, come on, people, like, let's look, Jesus is our model. And if we were to become like him, he was both human and divine. So in his humanity, in his emotional, like, exposure, he wept, he got angry, like he rejoiced, all these things. And the Holy Spirit, mind you, can do whatever he pleases.
Right.
So people quit boxing him in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Psalm 115 says he does whatever he pleases. And if he knocks you on your butt and you are weeping and then you turn into holy laughter or whatever, like, praise God, you are feeling the power of the Spirit. Right? So our emotions, and this is where, again, it intertwines so much with healing, is if our emotions get locked up in the body, if they're not expressed because we've suppressed things, and then the lies get more deeply rooted, we're not good enough, I'm dirty, I'm ugly, I can't do this, I'm stuck, I'm whatever, then those things continue to ruminate, and that's what causes disease and sickness to manifest, because neuroscience shows that what we believe we give power to, right?
Yeah.
The neuroplastic concept. We have the ability to change our thinking and to change our thoughts can actually change our brain structure. So Carolyn Leaf, I will plug her in every talk I ever give because she talks about this and it's beautiful because she's essentially proven scripture. Proverbs 23:7 says, as you think, so you are.
Mm-hmm.
As you think, so you are. Philippians 4:7-9, whatever is honorable, whatever is profitable, whatever is beautiful, think of these things. These things will take root in our life if we let them, right? But if we don't, all the trauma, all the emotions, the brokenness that we all deal with, right? Like, those things have nowhere to go and they get locked in our body. It's the psychosomatic that causes disease and sickness and destruction, not just mentally, emotionally, but physically, right? And so to release those emotions, which is what counseling's good for, again, embracing our full humanity. It is the beauty of theology of the body. And when we release that, then there's a cascade of events that takes place. You know, I didn't grow up, I laugh and say I had zero emotional intelligence growing up. Like, I had no grit. And this is part of, many of us didn't, right? Because it was like, well, don't talk about that. Don't get emotional. Don't let those tears, you know what I'm saying? Like pull your boots up, you know, like strap them up. And so it's become such an issue in our culture, which is the mental health crisis, right? So depression and anxiety, and Carolyn Leaf talks about this. If those things, it's a warning signal. Mm-hmm. It's a symptom that there's something more deeply rooted going on. There's something out of order. Mm-hmm. There's an order to our body. There's an order to movement. There's an order to our breathing, theology of the body. Something is out of order. It's in disequilibrium, right? It doesn't mean you have a defect in your brain.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have that there's something wrong with you. We look at these labels, these medical diagnoses, we slap it on somebody and then they take it on. It's the same concept as I'm divorced.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm da da da, like I'm this, I'm that. Like we peg people. on this label or whatever. And then it creates this complex where we partner with this instead of the truth of who God says we are. Mm-hmm. Right. So those things, the depression, anxiety, I think we have to get to those root issues in order for people to have healing front and to have, in my super long-winded answer, shocker, to have freedom, to experience freedom. People will not heal without knowing what they know, like deeply rooted, right? And without feeling what they feel.
Yeah.
You know, and that comes from the body keeps us warm too. It's all of this is identity healing. What's the definition of healing? In my opinion, there's so many different ways you could define it, but it's embracing our poverty, but embracing our identity as a daughter of the King, as a son of the King in our sonship, right? Because when we face the truth about ourselves, and I think this was something I mentioned in the last podcast.
Just wait. It's fine.
She'll come back.
God will fend our mind to reveal our heart, right? Like we have to face the truth. And when we are believing these lies and empowering the liar, then it's getting those things more deeply rooted in us versus the truth, right? So I feel like I'm talking a lot. I could keep going, but I want to.
You're good. Okay, so I have a question. I'm like really thinking about what you're saying. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Kendra's heard me say this a few times lately. I'm pretty bothered by people discounting emotions in the church. Like you said, and I understand that not all emotions are to be trusted, right? Sometimes we can run, our emotions can run away with us. So I fully believe in take every thought captive, right? I think this is like a both and. I don't think it's a one or the other, but I think like we have to be able to experience our own emotions, pray through them, understand, is this from God or is this a lie from the enemy, right? That in and of itself has to be a number one. Like if we could teach that to young people, like I didn't learn that till I was an adult, right?
Right.
But I think emotions are so much a part of discernment. I mean, Ignatius talked about emotions all the time. Mm-hmm. How do we feel the movements of the Holy Spirit? How do we know if the Lord is speaking to us or not? That's all through our feelings, right? Mm-hmm. But I think when we discount emotions for whatever reason, because you're not allowed to have emotions, because you need to be tough, or because emotions aren't part of who we are as Catholics, I think we lose access to the Holy Spirit in a way. Do you know what I mean? Amen. Like if you don't know that little tingle in your heart is because the Lord is trying to speak to you and you don't think he speaks through that tingle in your heart, then are you ever going to respond to it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And y'all may want to cut this part out of the podcast and I'm okay with that because I'm about to get feisty.
Okay. Amen.
Okay.
Preach it, sister. Come
here
on.
Here goes feisty Megan. I believe... I won't say where I was. I went to an event the other day and it was a beautiful Holy Spirit filled thing. And afterwards, the leader got up there and said, well, I think a lot of you experienced emotions today and, you know, none of that really matters. Tomorrow we're going to Mass, basically was the talk. And I was like, whoa. Like if you experience the Holy Spirit, like let's dive into that more. What did that feel like to be in the presence of Jesus in adoration? How can we take those feelings of love and devotion that you just experienced from Jesus and help us to encounter him more at Mass? But sometimes I think, this is where I'm gonna get feisty, as Catholics, there's a cop-out. The cop-out is you're not always gonna feel him and that's okay. And so you just don't need to expect to feel him at all. I think there's a cop-out that we give people that says emotions don't matter, feelings don't matter. So if you're not feeling him, it's okay. Just keep going on with your life. Now, I do think there is something to be said for you're not always going to feel him and you do have to keep pressing in. I'm not saying that's not true.
Yeah.
But to discount it altogether, I think is why so many people don't experience him because they don't even know it's possible to experience him in that way. And they've been taught that feelings and emotions don't matter. And so I might as well not even be, you know, open to it. And when we did our retreat this weekend, the Lord kept putting on our hearts that to be expectant. And so that's what we did.
Amen.
Is when they walked in the door, we said, you be expectant. He's moving for you today.
Amen.
And
amen.
He showed up for them, don't you think? And I think if we started the day by saying, oh, there's no such thing as feeling and emotions in the Catholic Church, would they have known that he was speaking to their hearts? I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little feisty. I'm sorry.
I'm
just delighting.
So good.
That was wonderful.
Come it's on. It's really been on my yes. heart lately, though. Yes. And
amen, because that's truth. No, I get passionate about this stuff too, right? Because that's a lie from the enemy that we're not supposed to embrace those things, mm-hmm. right? And this is why I always say we have to be rooted in the Word of God because it helps us to discern what is emotion and what's not, right?
Right.
One of the things I say, you know, the truth of God's Word rules my heart and cleanses my thought life. Or vice versa, rules my thought life and cleanses my heart, not my emotions. Mm-hmm. I can acknowledge my emotions. I can name it. We could claim it instead of suppressing it, right?
Right.
We can talk these things out.
And offer it to God.
Because we're, right? Mm-hmm. We can talk about it with God, and then we can talk about it with a trusted friend, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a counselor, but it can be someone you trust because you can't heal unless you feel safe.
Right.
So to talk these things out, this is, like, first of all, so many things I wouldn't comment on, just what you shared, Megan, briefly, because we should expect the Holy Spirit. I think is it St. Bonaventure? So basically the catechism talks about how every day we should call on the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Holy Spirit, we expect you. I think it's St. Bonaventure that says this. So to come with such an expectancy, blow me away, Jesus.
Yes.
Blow me away with your Spirit. And what you want to teach me today in this moment, I listened to this recent podcast again on identity. I crave it so much because learning more and more because it's so vital. It's so integral for our church to be equipped for how the Lord is calling us. But anyway, he kind of gave me a different perspective, like about confession. Okay. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, right? He is faithful and just. He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But confession, actually Bill Johnson says this, well, anyway, it's agreeing with God. That's confession. It's agreeing with God. It's not, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's telling the truth about, okay, this is how I feel. God, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. What do you want to say about it? In other words, so telling the truth, confession is truth telling, telling the truth about ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, what's going on. And then thus what I believe about God. God, I am frustrated with you. You are not, Lord, I'm overjoyed with you. Thank you. It's whatever it is, it's telling God the truth. But truth about ourselves will lead us to repentance. So there's a difference between confession and repentance.
Yeah.
Right? So truth telling leads us to an action. Repentance, metanoia, the Greek word, right, means to turn. Change our heart. To turn. Yeah. If there is an action involved. Right?
And
confession.
And to dive into those two things, confession and repentance, I think we'll also like to be fully aware and open to those things, not just, you know, I'm going to go receive the sacrament because I'm supposed to, but to be fully open to those, both of those things. Puts you in touch with where was your heart positioned to lead you into those things, right? Or what wound are you acting out of to lead you to that emotion, which led you to this thing, which now you are confessing in the sacrament of confession.
That's exactly
it. And it draws you back to the heart of God.
Which is what? Which is what? Healing.
Right.
It's healing.
Right.
So it's identity. It's all intertwined. Let's go back to the root. Why did I react that way?
Right.
Why did I respond this way? Why did I sin? What is the motive of my heart? You nailed it, Kendra. And then, Lord, heal me. Let me be transformed. It's not to be conversion. Conversion is an ongoing thing, right? But it's ultimately to lead to our transformation, mm-hmm. like personal transformation. I will say this over and over and over again. Personal transformation is what leads to corporate transformation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like quit pointing fingers at people. Do your work. Tell God the truth. You know, face your own brokenness and tell your story and let the Lord heal us individually so that we're stronger as a community, as the beautiful bride that we're called to be.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. restoring community and relationships is an integral part of restoring our own individual well-being and vice mm-hmm. versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to say while we're on this topic, if anybody is new to this concept of healing or talking about brokenness, because I know we probably have some new listeners that haven't heard this much lately, we have a couple of different podcast episodes that you can go back and listen to. And we kind of break down what are the wounds, how do we walk through those. And also the John Paul II Healing Center is coming to Round Rock November. Mm-hmm. What day?
I think the second weekend in November.
7th, 8th, and 9th, I think. And we're going to be there. We're not really doing much.
We're just on
the behind the scenes team, but we're excited for this. And there's supposed to be 800 people at our parish. Yes. And our pastor... So good. Our pastor has made his mission at our church. We're at a really large church. He has made his mission to invite every single member of the parish, no matter what age, into healing. And so he's doing like healing retreats for teenagers. And because I think he sees the just the depth of how mm-hmm. transformative that would be for an entire parish, for people to be able to recognize that they have wounds, know their identity, heal their wounds, and receive freedom. Right. Like that's life-changing kind of stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
City-changing kind Amen. Of stuff, you know? Amen. So anyways, there's still openings, but I know it's filling up fast. So I'll put the link in the show
notes. And just to go back to the flying V formation, if we do take an eagle eye look at this, at what's happening, again, this movement of the church, you can sit back and see, like, there's Unbound that the Holy Spirit has led it. You know, there's the altar of the body. There's healing the whole person. The Encounter School of Ministry has healing, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's by the work of God and the Holy Spirit, because God wants freedom for his people.
Totally.
And it comes from this place of healing.
Yeah. And he knows people are seeking healing right now. Mm-hmm. And that if they don't find it in the church, they're going to look for it elsewhere.
Right.
And they're going to look for it in the New Age, and they're going to look for it in, you know, crystals and things like that. And he's saying, no, I want to be your healer.
Yes.
Let me be the one who brings you into healing.
Amen. 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 Okay. So yeah, sorry for little.
You go.
You're good.
But okay, I'm so glad. Two things there. I was just chatting with Dr. Bob Schutz yesterday.
Just chatting with Dr. Bob Schutz. That's fine. Those are statements I say all the time.
The only reason I'm saying that is because
I love it. No,
Well, this physician I'm with, Dr. Thomas, a whole other story. How the Lord connected us, but. I'm here with Dr. Tom, and he said we were talking about a place for me to talk, you know, privately to do this podcast. And Dr. Bob was like, "Oh, what podcast are you on?" So I was telling him, and he asked your name.
He heard about our podcast.
And he said, "Well, we're going to be in Austin in November. Make sure you tell them."
Yes.
And so the fact you just brought it up, I totally forgot to even say anything. What's funny is. Right? I know. When I made Healing the Whole Person, which I will tell everyone, here's my plug for JP2 Healing Ministry, go to Healing the Whole Person. Mm-hmm. I just had friends attend in Tennessee, mm-hmm. and it was life-changing for them. I was telling Sister Miriam for them, like, this was life-changing for them. This is what JP2 Healing Ministry does, because healing is central to the gospel, which is central to our hearts, because the gospel lives in us, because Jesus Christ lives in us, right? Amen. Spirit of living God. So, he brought this up. Well, I made my Healing the Whole Person in Austin.
Really?
That's cool. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. September of 2020. So, 3 years ago, which is so crazy. And now, just in their presence, you know. Anyways.
That's super cool.
But, I lived in Oregon at the time. I'd never been to Texas. Uh-huh. And, flew to Austin during COVID year. It's crazy.
But the Lord, it's a crazy time to do that.
Totally ordained it.
That's well, amazing. You should tell him. We have an episode on our podcast where I don't know if this is something he would like or something he would think is terrible, but we take the seven deadly wounds and use the movie Encanto to teach it to people.
That's
It was maybe one of my favorite episodes we ever did. Like we went into like the hearts of all the people and how wounded they were. And so it was a lot of fun. We're big fans.
I will absolutely deliver that message. That's awesome.
That's it was so cool. Good. No, it's been really life-changing for us to be a part of. And I really do think that the Lord is inviting everyone into healing. And it's not even like if you feel like you've had some traumatic life or a lot of people are like, I don't really have wounds. But you know what I'm seeing over and over and over is even people who haven't had traumatic lives, they carry a lot of like perfectionism type wounds and having to earn their salvation.
That's my story right there.
Right. And
that's right.
And even
same. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really kind of been shaking me as a mom lately because our kids are being raised very differently than we were raised. Mm-hmm. Our kids are being fully submerged in the faith, which is a gorgeous thing, right? But there's also a lot of demands placed on them. And I wonder sometimes if we aren't asking our kids to be better than the Lord would ask them to be. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If we aren't putting such a high standard for what is goodness and what is holiness and what does it mean to fall in love with Jesus. And because we are just living that way and we're setting the bar high, and not that we're trying to put pressures on them, but that they're hearing things that say, I have to be perfect. Mm. So even people who are raised like that in good and holy environments can still end up with wounds.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Lord is like, I don't need you to hold on to those wounds. Yeah. I want you to let me heal them.
Yeah. So the first time anybody, I met a friend, probably 10 years ago, and she was the first person that I had ever heard anyone talk about how everyone has wounds. And I immediately went there like, I don't have wounds. And then I really and that was kind of like my guard. And then I really thought into it, and then I couldn't think of anything. And then, and this is all the Lord just being so good and kind and gentle with our hearts. Like he's not going to, you know, throw us against the wall and say, think of your wounds. He's going to gently lead us and open. And I tell you what, like I cracked the door because he's a gentleman. He's not going to come in unwanted, right? I cracked the door and it has been the most freeing journey. It's been a journey, and it has been like opening me up to things that I didn't even know were there that makes sense. And that's the thing, like it helps you make sense of you. Right. Yeah. And I think it helps to form the truth over yourself, because whenever you mess up, then you think this lie, like, oh, I'm stupid, or, you know, I can't do anything right. And those are the lies. But when you dive into the reality of where that came from, then it helps you understand yourself, and it helps you show yourself mercy as the God the Father is lavishing his love and mercy over you.
When you were talking, I just had this image of like Jesus the warrior and Jesus the fighter, who's like fighting for your heart and like just saying, like trying to break off all these lies that come at us. But then also Jesus of this like gentleman, you just said, like he's a gentleman and he barely cracks open the door and just waits for you to say yes. And so there's like this both and of him like battling and then him also just like tenderly loving and holding and caressing and saying it's okay, like this doesn't have to be scary. But like he's doing the hard work for us so that he can be gentle to us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like behind the scenes where we can't see it, he's doing the battle.
Yes.
Again, I think we talked about this last podcast. It's the both and, right? Like he is this gentle lamb, and then he's the roaring lion too, because he is battling. He's won.
Yeah,
won the battle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but he does. He fights for us, and the Word of God says that. Like, stand still, right?
Yeah.
Let me fight for you. Exodus 14:14. Like, you only have to stand still, but it's requiring an agreement with us or from us, the partnership, right? Like that's where we miss sometimes, in agreeing with God the truth instead of the lies. Something you were saying, Kendra, it is this, it's the journey of our spiritual maturity and growth, right? It's he does reveal, like, okay, Lord, you said it, the first thing is like you crack the door, we open the door of our heart, and then little by little he reveals. It's the layers, right? Because it's this continual journey, which is the beautiful, like painful, but like just incredible Jesus blowing me away life that he wants us to live, this adventure. Because it's like, oh wow, that was you, like it was in this moment, in this season of my life, where you showed it had to happen now. It had to look just like this, mm-hmm. right? So 1 Corinthians 3 says God brings the growth. One waters, one plants the seed, right? But God brings the growth. Mm-hmm. Growth. It's his revelation, right? And that's the encounter that he invites us into if we take the first step of opening our hearts. He's constantly pursuing us.
Right.
We have to say yes.
Yeah.
Right. So it's John 17:3. Another life scripture is, this is eternal life, to know and experience, it's the Passion Translation, but to experience the love of God. Knowledge alone, everybody says knowledge is power, right? Knowledge alone is insufficient.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge alone, we live in this, the information culture,
right?
So an intellectual grasp of truth mm-hmm. won't change the way we live, right? It has to be a personal relationship, because the power is in relationship. The power isn't in knowledge. The power is in relationship, mm-hmm. right? But we have to be careful with that too. I'm kind of going off on another tangent, but we have to be careful with that too, because 1 Corinthians 8:1 says knowledge puffs up, mm-hmm. but love builds up, because the nature of knowledge in and of itself is pride.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like, for what purpose? But in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge mm-hmm. because they've rejected knowledge. It's knowledge of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's relationship with, mm-hmm. it's being known mm-hmm. by
it's
him.
It's intimacy.
Right. And this, it's intimacy. That's right. And mm-hmm. again, it always goes back to relationship, identity, all the things.
Yeah.
So, but one thing you said, actually, in y'all's last podcast, which I loved listening to, and just the work. Yeah, the work that he did on the retreat. I just thought it was beautiful. And
thank you.
So many things. I was like, oh, I want to talk to them about this. but one thing that was so beautiful, Kendra, and you had texted me about this too, was how after your first talk, you felt an attack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your daughter prayed over you. Yeah. Philomena?
Yes, Philomena. Mm-hmm.
Love that name, saintly
thank
name.
You.
And I was like, praise God. Like, you have equipped her. And she, I think you said she didn't know how to pray, like, you know, but you step out in faith. She mm-hmm. stepped out in faith because she was in a safe place to trust you even to do that.
Yeah.
And then you felt the Holy Spirit, right? And you had this beautiful moment. And I'm like, praise God. It was so beautiful. I love listening to that, because that's the work of beautiful parenting and also knowing, like, you don't have all the answers, but you can be a safe place for her to teach, right? And always point back to the Father, because his face is the answer.
Amen.
That's good.
But it's, but like, right? But again, the work of, like, restoring us individually and then restoring the family and thus restoring the church. Like, it's that, again, personal transformation leads to corporate transformation. But the second thing I wanted to say about that is, and to come back to your point too, Megan, this is where my brain goes in like 500 directions. The trauma, you're right. People think of healing as like, oh, well, I wasn't abused. Yeah. You know, I didn't have X, Y, and Z that we think in our limited perspective is where people need healing. No, we all need healing mm-hmm. on this side of the fall. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. It's, again, it's our humanity. So my first moment, and Kendra, you sharing this on the last podcast after you preached, I had it, then my memory went back to the first time I preached in Africa, which was in 2019. And immediately I had the same thing. I was totally attacked.
Wow.
Like, that wasn't good enough. Yeah. No one got saved. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was the spirit of performance, the spirit of perfectionism, having to prove, which comes out of an orphan mindset, an orphan identity, right? Not out of our sonship, because we have to strive for approval, for perfectionism, for it's the comparison, all that crap.
Yeah.
right.
And so that was the first moment I had deliverance in Africa myself. Wow. When I processed that evening with these women I was with, and I was like, I was blown away. Like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
I had no grid for it then. Right. Mm-hmm. So this was like just where, even again, where my healing journey started, years ago. But that's the biggest thing. I think so many people, they come from relatively stable homes, mm-hmm. right? But the reality, and I would say the same for myself, both of my parents, good people, but the reality is they're broken too, because mm-hmm. we're all fathered by broken yeah. people.
Right.
Yeah. And when our parents are in a healthy place, it's, you know, that's a sign of secure attachment in the psychological world, right? This is where a lot of our, where idolatry can come from, right? What mm-hmm. do we attach ourselves, a person, a thing, addiction, all the things, right? Again, it has to do with suppressing emotion. But in the secure attachment of our, with our parents, there's an ability to be honest about our deficits, again, telling the truth mm-hmm. and our own shortcomings, so that our parents can, it can be a holding environment to receive that and yeah. still be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's really powerful what you said about Africa, because I think if you're not, it doesn't have to be about speaking, it can be about anything that happens in your life when you feel this like great attack afterwards, right? And I think if you're not aware mm-hmm. of how the enemy speaks, if you're not aware yeah. of how to renounce lies like that, or to even know that the enemy can cause wounds in your heart, I think what happens is people just take right. that in and they receive it and they believe it. And it, mm-hmm. then it becomes a wound that starts growing. Right. And then yeah. before long, like, and you were like aware of if, yeah, it gets, it, and it could
yeah,
be
exactly
20 years before you right. figure out that you've believed a lie. And I think it's so powerful to be able to equip people to say, mm-hmm. I don't have to receive that. Mm-hmm. I can renounce that right now and I can move on. And then you feel this freedom, like watching people walk in Amen. To be prayed with, like Amen. They just look like they're tied up in knots. And by the end, there's just like their mm-hmm. shoulders are back, their eyes are up, they're walking yes. like this, like there's just a lightness in their step that I think it's so powerful. And I think that's what the Lord really wants for all of yeah. us. And you were like aware enough that day, Kendra, to be like, I know this isn't right.
Right.
But you know what I mean? But if you yeah. weren't, if we hadn't been taught that, would you have known to even go exactly. there?
Right.
You probably yeah. wouldn't have.
Yeah. Something that keeps ringing in my ear that I think has been a huge part of my journey is the scripture. And I'm going to ask you, walking Bible. I don't know where it comes from.
We're about it's to play a the, Bible trivia game.
New Testament,
best
right?
compliments anyone could ever give me. Thank you.
You're wow. welcome.
Can't be the glory.
But how we... like, don't eat the junk food, but thirst for spiritual milk.
Oh.
Do you know which one I'm talking
that,
about?
Jesus says that, right?
No, it's in, no, it's not in one of the gospels.
Oh, it's not a gospel?
Oh, sorry. Oh. Did you hear me? Spiritual milk?
Okay.
The thirst for spiritual milk. Thirst for spiritual milk.
Hebrews 5. Amen. Hebrews 5.
Dang, you're good, girl. I was like, I think Jesus said that.
I was like, Google it. Yeah, yeah.
Hebrews 5.
Hebrews 5. Yes. But so many times, you know, I'm also reading our book right now for our encounter class, and it has so many beautiful, profound. Oh my gosh.
Father Boniface Hicks.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's called Personal
yes.
Prayer.
Yes.
But it's in the chapter about silence, and it's just incredible. But so many times we can just be going, or just putting off healing to the side, or just convincing ourselves that we're fine. That sort of thing, that we're just in going with emotions, that we are not being fed by the proper milk. And if you think about like women, God has given us a gift to breastfeed. And yeah. anytime our baby is sick, our bodies know exactly what formula from our breast milk that baby needs yeah. to heal and to grow and to be strong. And just think about that relation. That's a reflection of a heavenly truth, right? Yeah. Like the spiritual milk that Amen. God
so
gives
beautiful.
Us mm. is exactly what we need. And we need to thirst for that.
That's beautiful.
Thirst for the spiritual
Amen.
Milk.
When y'all are talking, I keep hearing this quote from St. Augustine in my head. In my deepest wound, I saw you, Lord, and you dazzled me.
Oh, yes.
Like if you're not seeking that spiritual milk and you're not asking him to come into those wounds, then you're not going to experience the dazzle.
The dazzle.
The dazzle. Like yes. that back into like back to like so he blows good. Me away. Like I want to be blown away. Mm-hmm. Even if it hurts a little
come
bit.
Come on, right?
Even yeah. if it like tugs at me and pushes me mm-hmm. in a direction that maybe I'm not ready to go yet. Mm-hmm. I want to be all in and I want to be blown away by everything he has.
Right,
you know
right.
I mean? I don't want to hold him back in any way.
He's a good father.
Yeah.
And he prunes us.
Right.
It's but the pruning is good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he is a good father. That's he is who
and
he
I don't want to put him in any kind yeah. of restraints that doesn't allow yeah. him to blow me away.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
All right, y'all.
That's right.
We should probably transition to what's God doing in your heart because it's been a while.
Come on. Let's go another hour, y'all.
Well, Kendra forgot to give my child lunch for school today, so we got to go back to the preschool.
I dropped them off at school, and then I pull in my driveway, and I look into the passenger seat, and there's Tessa's backpack. So I do need to go take her lunch.
We're like, what time do they eat lunch? I don't know. Hopefully not yet.
We'll see. But one time my husband packed my daughter's lunch, but didn't put fresh food in it. He
took yesterday's lunch.
He took the day before what was leftover lunch. And so I don't know why. Somehow he thought I had made – anyways. But the teachers all like chipped in. And she had like the best lunch ever. Strawberries, all the things.
I mean
– so she might be feasting right now.
Tessa would be thrilled with just straight up snacks for lunch. Like that would not hurt her at all. Anyways. Okay. So what's God doing in your heart? Who wants to go first? I have no idea. I'm not going first.
For me, it's just been this book, this chapter on silence and prayer. And that, you know, so many times whenever we feel like God is silent – it's not that he's silent and we're wanting him to come into our noise, but in reality, he's inviting us into him. He's just waiting there and being patient. And it's in the silence where we feel love. It's in the silence where we dream. It's in the silence where we hear him. It's in the silence where we hear the direction to go. And it's just – like so many times on my page, I've never written in any book like profound exclamation point. Wow. Exclamation point.
That's awesome.
it is beautiful. It is beautiful.
So good.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm way behind on that book. Like 50 pages. So I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Every time you mention it, I'm like, oh man, I got to go read.
Sorry.
I'll work on that. I'll get caught up. That's awesome though.
Yeah,
it's just beautiful to focus on prayer too. I think that's been really fruitful the past couple of weeks. I think sometimes we talk about like falling in love with Jesus and having this beautiful prayer time with him, but there's not a lot of like
you are phrasing again
specifics
if you can hear me.
Of what does that look like for people. So that personal prayer book is really good at that.
Yeah. Cool. I want to read just real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, go
this
for
little
it.
Section from and it's quoting St. Augustine.
Love
and
him.
I didn't know that Matt Maher's song was.
Girl, I said that at the retreat last weekend.
Oh.
That's why I love that song. How do you not know that? You spend way too much time with me to not know that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can read it there because it's my favorite.
Okay, good. So this is from St. Augustine. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you. Now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace.
Whew. The first time I heard those words, I was like, it put words to what I had experienced in my conversion.
Yeah.
That I never, that I couldn't articulate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late have I loved you. What took me so long?
It's from his Confessions. I tried to read Confessions a while ago.
I know. Every time I hear that script, that
so
passage,
dense.
I'm like, I should really read the Confessions.
It's so dense.
As much as I love him, I should try that again.
Yeah.
And then I never do.
Yeah.
I think I even have it on my shelf. Yeah. I think I bought it actually like 3 different times.
So powerful.
You should do it.
That's so good.
Yeah,
I love
it.
It
like it's the reminder of like there's always more, right? Like there's always more. There's just a taste and see. Like we get a taste and like there's more. There's more.
Hunger
to be
and
at,
a thirst.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you, Haley? What's God doing in your heart right now?
Oh gosh, so much, so much. I feel like I'm in constant transition, which is it's good because that's actually. Part of the teaching is he has given me this childlike heart, but when we really enter into that of just like the more that I abide and listen, if I can just stop talking in my prayer even and just listen, right? And see myself as a child, just I like to picture myself a lot because of these encounters I've had in the last year, just being held by him, like just sitting in his lap. And even with Our Lady, I had this beautiful encounter with her last year too, and seeing myself being held by one of them or both of them and just listening and being in that place of rest and comfort with them so that I can always move out of that place, you know. So to maintain that childlike posture and that dependency on a good father who always takes care of me and provides even in the unknown, right? That I'm like, I don't know what the hizzy I'm doing, but I'm with you and I know you're with me, right? And
yeah.
So staying in that place, but it's also this like, I'm in the middle of my consecration, renewing my consecration to Mary, to Jesus through Mary. I mean, St. Louis de Montfort's and mm-hmm. his consecration. And, like I'm in the section about knowledge of Mary, you know, there's, I don't know if you all have done that one, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
Anyway, it's part of the realization that again, the enemy, you know, there's not a more, St. Louis says St. Louis de Montfort says, there's not a more troublesome or wearisome enemy than ourselves when we're not in agreement with God. And wow. So again, getting to that quiet place, right? Getting to yeah. that quiet place. And then Job 22:21 says, agree with God and be at peace. Mm-hmm. So if I can stay in that place of listening, yeah. abiding, agreeing with him, telling him the truth, receiving the truth, repenting, all the things, staying in that place of peace to maintain it in whatever circumstance I'm in, right? And it's also that Psalm 139, you guys know this, 23, verse 23, mm-hmm. like, search me and know me, oh God, know my mm-hmm. thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me to the yeah. truth everlasting or the way of everlasting life. So help me, God, help me, help you.
Help me. Get help over you. Myself.
Help, yes. Right. Like, help me. Like, to, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. to let you reveal those things to me so I can continue yeah. to be purified and just be dependent on you, like for whatever you're calling me into, whatever work you want me to do for your kingdom, to get over, you know, my pride and all that stuff. So it's a big answer, but it's staying in that childlike posture of listening, that receptivity, and letting him continue to purify me in that process, even as I'm consecrating myself right now. So
that's beautiful.
That's beautiful. I love what you said about agreeing with God. That mm-hmm. that brings peace. I mean, think about our world. Like, if you're not in communion with God, most people aren't experiencing peace, you right. know? That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. What That's about cool. you, Megan?
I'm still, like, on this, like, mission since our retreat. Mm-hmm. The so Lord good. Really invited me in to step into a place of kind of, like, authority that I hadn't really encountered, or not encountered, but I hadn't really, like, owned yet, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. And he was like, it's time, you're going, like, I've equipped you, like, no holding back, let's go. And at the end of the retreat, I, like, started preaching a lot. I didn't mean to. And then afterwards, I apologized. And I've had three different people tell me that I shouldn't have never apologized, that I should have just gone and kept going because that was what God had called me to. Mm-hmm. So I'm still just kind of, like, in that place of feeling really, like, that we're on a mission, Lord. Like, I'm ready. Yeah. You're ready. Let's go. So it's just kind of this dance of, like, mm-hmm. not running too far ahead of him, letting him lead me, but also stepping into not being fearful and not, yeah. you know,
yeah. mm.
and there's, like, yeah. a humility there that's kind mm. of like, I want to be humble enough to follow you, but not so falsely humble that I don't go where you call me to go kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. as a result of some of that, like in the past couple of weeks and praying and stuff, I have decided that I'm going to go back to graduate school and because I really feel like hey. This is the mission that he wants for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And if me not having the right theology background is going to keep doors from opening where the Lord wants to speak, then I want to mm-hmm. remove that block so the Lord can go where he wants to go. Amen. So Amen. Yeah, I wrote a paper wow. yesterday. It was weird. Like an admissions really? Essay. And I was like, well, I mean, do I act like I'm some sort of, like, you know, student who's, like, super theological and smart, or do I just go with the passion that the Lord's given me? Like, I don't really know how to hide that. So I'm just going to go with plan B
yeah,
and just be me. This is who I am. Again. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Love
so
it.
The University of Dallas is where I'm applying. So, yeah.
Good for you. Time. Megan, that's awesome. That's yeah. that's a big step, really.
It is, yeah. Well, and it's just, like, kind of like the Lord – it's been something that's been on my heart for a long time, but I've kind yeah. of, like, had reasons of why I couldn't or whatever. And the Lord was finally like, yeah, no, now's time. Mm-hmm. You have time in the day to do this. I'm going to walk with Amen. You through it. It's not going to take that long. We're going to yeah. do it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, super cool. Super cool.
So good.
Yay. Okay. Right. Well – as sad as we are to bring this to a close, Miss yeah. Tessa needs some lunch.
Yeah, and you have to go back and minister to people.
Yes. So. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you again, Haley, for being so honest and sharing your heart with us and just lighting a fire under us and inspiring our listeners, but also just inspiring Kendra and I. Like, we just, it's so good to have people that are, you know, living this ahead of us who can say, it is good. Trust God, follow Him, give your whole heart. What was your prayer that you prayed? It wasn't I'm all in. What was your prayer? At any cost.
At any cost. Yeah.
Lord, at any cost.
It was actually my first tattoo on my side. No one can see it, but it says Luke 1:38, which is Mary's fiat, right? Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me. For so it just says Luke 1:38 at any cost. So I know it's written on my heart, His word, right? Written on my heart.
And we can trust Him. Like, that's a scary prayer, but we can trust Him. He is good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been costly. I'll say that much. Yeah. But it's good. Yeah,
it is costly.
It's good.
All right. So. Well, thank you, friend.
Bye. Yeah.
Hey,
bye.
Thank you guys. Really. Bless y'all.
Yeah.
Aww, you thank you.
Bye.
Hey friends, we feel like we have a mission on this podcast. The Lord has put on our heart that He wants us to partner with Him to bring revival in the Catholic Church, to invite people into living fully alive as Catholics in the Holy Spirit and the Mass and the sacraments. And we feel like this podcast is a big part of that. We would love if you feel called to this mission too, if you would partner with us. We're realizing that we need a little funds to make this podcast the best thing it can be. We need to hire a real life podcast editor who can make it sound as wonderful as we would like for it to. We also would love any sponsorship. If you have a business that you would like to advertise on our podcast, let us know. We would love that so much. So if you're interested in partnering with us and donating, you can click on the link in our show notes for our Give Butter website. I know it's a weird name, Give Butter, like the food, but it is a fundraising website for nonprofits, and we are a 501c3. And so if you donate to us, you will receive a receipt that you can file your taxes with. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. It's so hard to ask for money, and this is not something we take lightly, but we feel like this mission is where God has called us to. We feel like this is where He desires the church to move forward in, and we would love for you to be a part of it. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear His voice more, you follow Him more, and I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.